Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. All right, let's go look at Galatians chapter 5 this morning, please. Galatians chapter 5. Looking for my passage. Fruit of the Spirit. Help me out here. 522. Thank you, brother. 522. For some reason, I had 13 stuck in my mind, and that was the wrong one. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you that we can sing songs to recognize that we belong to you. God, what a joy to know that we can be children of God and know it while we're on this planet. What a glory, what a price that might be able to be our reality. And we thank you for the blood that Christ shed. Praise you for the resurrection. And God, I look to you now and I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and help me to minister the word to your church this morning. And help my dear wife relaying the message inside, fill her with your Spirit. And I thank you for your word that's gone forth already in the Sunday school hour to adults and children alike, as your word has gone forth. Father, help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. And I'm thankful for each one here with us in the building this morning. I'm thankful for those that are here with us online. And dear God, as always, as your word goes forth, we need our hearts to be affected. And we need you to change us more into the image of Christ. There may be some receiving this message who need to be saved. They've never become your child through faith in Christ Jesus. And they need the forgiveness of their sins. And I pray that you would make that clear to them today. And Father, that they would receive you and work in that, Father, work in those hearts. Again, I thank you for each one here, the blessed privilege we have to worship you together and to know that there is indeed life after death. And even in that case, your scripture says we shall not all sleep, we'll not all die, believers. But we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we look forward to that. Dear God, use your word to glorify your name, your blessed Son, your Spirit, and edify your church. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Back in April, I preached a couple messages on walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And we have learned that we have no strength of our own to live this Christian life. Physical or mental. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. God says you can't do the Christian life in your own strength. It is not in man to direct his steps. That means you're not smart enough, neither am I, to know how we ought to live this life. Which leaves us in utter humility and utter dependence upon God. That's what it is. It's all in his strength. And then we had a recent point in the message where we looked at the fruits of the Spirit. And there are places in the Scripture that apply to the fruits of the Spirit as our strength. Every one of the fruits of the Spirit somewhere in the Scripture is applied to spiritual strength. Whether it be the idea of offensive strength, going after the things we ought to grab, or defensive strength, resisting. Somewhere, every one of the fruits of the Spirit is applied to strength. And this is how we will live the Christian life. And I felt directed just to take some time. We're going to go spend some Sunday morning. We're going to go through each one of the fruits of the Spirit one at a time. And we're going to look at what God has provided for us, what His Spirit wants to do through us. Because the amazing thing about the Christian life is the one word that we have one of the most problems with. And it's, you usually see it on those triangle signs out on the highway, and it says, yield. And therein lies our most problem. Our greatest problem. Because yield means God's not going to make us. Amen. That means we have a choice to follow Him. We have a choice to yield to Him or not. And that's where our battle lies. Amen. But I think as Brother Travis taught and preached this morning, the more we know Him, the more we're going to love Him. You can't learn more about God and who He is and what He's done for us and not love Him more. That's happening, you know, you're lacking some spiritual understanding in your study of the Scriptures. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we understand that there is a worldly love that is not what God's talking about. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible talks about a worldly love, Luke 6:32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. You know, we have that kind of love in our flesh before we're saved. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, you know. And you do good to give me a favor and I give you a favor. That's a kind of love. But that's not the fruit of the Spirit, okay? John 15:19. If you're of the world, what's it say? The world would love his own. So the Bible does confess that there is a love in the world. But it's not the fruit of the Spirit love that God's talking about. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That just means that you're not one of their crew anymore once you're born again. You're not living for the same things that they want to live for. And unless you change, you're no longer going to be their best friend, okay? That's just the way it is. People want to hang around with those who are seeking the same things and those who love the same things. And God changes your ticker, amen? God changes our desires when we're born again. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's pretty powerful. God says, I have loved you with all of me. Now I expect you to love me with all of you. And by the way, Romans 12 says what? It's our reasonable service, as Brother Travis shared. That's why we're commanded to be conformed to his image. So we'll look at some things about this divine love that our God talks about. And if I can learn how to operate the equipment here. And see here, there we go. The fruit of the Spirit, divine love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. John chapter 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And obviously, in this verse, God's talking about the spirit love. Someone in the world could say, well, I love my kids. Well, maybe they do with a world love. But they don't have this kind of love is only in the Christian. The true love that comes by God's Spirit, that comes as a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible writes, Paul writes to us in Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That love of God, or that kind of love that comes from God, and by the way, it comes from God and helps us to love God. It comes from God and helps us to love one another. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You can't have it without the Holy Ghost. It's a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 1 and verse 5 tells us, for the hope, we have a hope in heaven. The first part of the verse, it's laid up in the word of the truth of the gospel. First Colossians 1, 5. The gospel's come unto you, as it is in all the world. Here it is. And bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The Holy Spirit is going to bring forth this fruit in our lives. And by the way, love is first, and I believe for a reason. It's preeminent. All the commandments are in two phrases, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the foundation of it all, really. Amen. And God is love. Divine love is given, comes from God. We get it. I think about an illustration of this. And, you know, people talk about doomsday and global warming. And so the world begins to plan for catastrophes and such. Well, in Svalbard, the seed vault in Svalbard, Norway, if I can pronounce that right, is where they prepare for the future if something would happen to the earth. This doomsday seed vault, so to speak, is filled with seeds, it's in Norway there, and it is this seed vault is constructed inside a sandstone mountain there in Norway, and over 400 feet or something inside the mountain it goes, and in the event they put it there in the event of a cooling system failure, that the climate there would keep it from thawing out. The climate there was considered ideal because it lacks tectonic activity, earthquakes and such like that, and has obviously a great permafrost, which aids preservation. It's also over 400 feet above sea level, though it be an island. And so they say, well, if the ice caps melted and the ocean came up, why, it'd still be out of the water and such. A lot of reasons they put it there. It was chosen for that permafrost. They keep it cooled with coal that is locally mined, the refrigeration. They keep it at 0.5 degrees below zero is what they keep it at. I rounded off. It's 0.4, actually. 0.5 degree. Below zero. And they say if the power failed there, that it would take several weeks for that temperature in that sandstone bedrock there, it would take several weeks for the temperature in that vault to rise to 27 degrees Fahrenheit. And then they say, from what they've studied and figured, it would take 2 centuries before it would reach 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's an amazing thing. Why do they have it there? You see, because God put life in those seeds that they can't reproduce.
And they have example over 20 million seeds, or I forget how many plants and stuff that recommend. But of all the food on the earth, so that if something cataclysmic happened and we lost crops and all that, and we had to start over again, we got something to start with. And you know why that is? Because they can't reproduce it. Notice that God made trees and plants, what's the Bible say? With its seed in itself. You see, the tree that God made only can produce the seed. And then, isn't God good? We get to gather up the seeds now. How many of you have done that already? And you got your garden all planted here? We've gathered up the seeds which came from the plants which we can't make. And we can't make the seed either. But God was kind enough to put the life in that seed. And we can't reproduce it. Can I tell you and remind ourselves, we can't reproduce the Christian life. Amen. We can't produce it by our efforts. We can't produce it by our wisdom. God saw nothing good in us that he could use to glorify his name before we're born again. Okay? The one thing good was this. We were made in the image of God. That means that we had a spirit. We had a mind, emotions, and a will. Okay? And God wants to fill us with his spirit that he might flow through us and produce these fruits. And he begins it. The fruit of the spirit is love. John 6:33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, here it is, and giveth life unto the world. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. It is, brings to life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. How much? Nothing. By the way, the flesh, does that include your intellect and mind? And our everything about us profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, what? They are spirit and they are life. In other words, God put in us his spirit that needs to live through us if we're going to draw closer to him. His spirit who will live through us. And it's a gift. The Holy Spirit will bring forth this fruit of love that we're talking about. We continue looking at love here. Divine love is given. Secondly, divine love is gracious. Eh? It is a sanctified love. That is, it's set apart. It is different from this world love that we saw that the Bible also confesses is in the world. This is a separate love. This is God's love. It's not like the world. Oh, we love John 3:16, by the way, and we ought to. For God what? So, in this manner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a love. How different it is from the world's love. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, or God demonstrated, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were trying to do our best. Not while we happened to be having a good day. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And by the way, it is through this love that we can see this command fulfilled in our lives in John, in Matthew 5:44 and others. But I say unto you, what? Three words. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's pretty amazing. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, defining how we love our enemies. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We can't do that in the flesh, brethren. The Spirit has to do that. This is a strength of love, of this fruit of love in helping us live the Christian life. That it's not, it doesn't begin with ourselves. That's a fruit of the Spirit which God planted in us. A sanctified, a set apart love. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Paul writes to the church, by the way, they've been bad talking him. Paul, he was planning to come see us. Now he changed his plans. You know, we're not sure how he's making all these plans anyway. Is he doing it in the flesh, or how's he planning? And some of them were maybe doubting his apostleship. But I like Peter's preaching better. I just listened to Jesus' words, what I heard, you know. And they have all these divisions. And Paul's apostleship was coming up into question before some of them as well. What did Paul write to them? 2 Corinthians 12:15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Brethren, do you think the world can do that? The world can't do that. The world can't do that. Only believers can do it through Christ, amen? Through the Holy Spirit, through that love that the fruit will bring forth. It's an amazing love indeed. And by the way, greater love hath no man than this, what? That a man lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. When did Jesus lay down his life? When his disciples were at their best or at their worst? At their worst. They all forsook him and fled. Peter had just said with an oath, I know not the man. And that's when he performed that act that proved the far superiority of God's love over ours. As he spilt that blood on the cross for you and I and rose again. While his own disciples were acting as his enemies, so to speak. What a powerful love. It is indeed a sanctified love. The world's got nothing like it. It's a set apart love. What else about this love do we see? It's a sanctified love, but it's also B, if you're keeping that line, it is a serving love. It is a serving love. For God so loved the world, what's it say? That he gave. Amen. It wasn't just a feeling. God just didn't feel warm and fuzzy about his creation. No, his love moved him. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. He loved the world. He loves everyone. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. I'm getting ahead of myself here. It's a sanctified love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son. It's a sanctified love. Now, it's a serving love. Divine love compels us to serve. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ, what? Constraineth us. And we studied this before. When you constrain something, it applies more pressure. If you take liquid water flowing, and you constrain it to a smaller diameter, what happens? The water comes out more powerful with more pressure. And the Bible talks about, you know, as we become more and more focused in our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God becomes first in our lives, and like Travis said, we get our eyes off all those shiny things in the world, and our mind's not over here. And the more we become focused, the more the Spirit can flow through us with the power and force that God would have. Amen. The love of Christ constrains us. There's that power again. There's that going forward by that love. It's a serving love. Romans 7:6. We are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should what? Serve in newness of spirit. Serving him. Love is it's a gracious love. It's sanctified. It's different than the world's. This sanctified love, and it's a serving love. This divine love compels us to serve. What else do we see about this divine love? This divine love challenges us to serve. Remember, we have that one word we got to deal difficult with, yield, right? The Bible doesn't say that divine love makes us. There's a great moving of the Spirit there. John 14:15. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments.
I love my wife, and I like to know ways that I can show her I love her. And I appreciate when she shares some of those with me, because sometimes, frankly, I'm clueless, okay? And I'll just confess it, all right? And I appreciate those things, okay? Well, God says, if you want to show me that you love me, keep my commandments. And by the way, we already know he's not expecting us to do it by any of our own strength or wisdom. Amen. He says, I've put it in you so you can begin to walk with me, my spirit, by yielding to me and letting me work through you. Letting me work through you. Beloved, if God so loved us, 1 John 4:11, we ought also to love one another. It'll be a serving love. We think about that. And then we see that this gracious love here, and this serving love, it's a divine love that commands. It does command us to serve. We read in 1 Peter 1:22, Peter writes, "Well, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Since you have been born again, since God, who is love, is now in you, in His Spirit, now the love of Christ wants to flow through you and through me. And it can happen only by His Spirit. A divine love commands us to serve. In John 15:8, Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." This is part of what we're talking about here, the fruit of the Spirit. "So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Getting ahead of me. Continue in my love. I'm getting ahead of me, myself. Let's go to where I'm going, since I'm there already. It's a standing love. It's a sustaining love as well. Point C for keeping that line. It sustained Christ. John 17. Of course, John 17 is what? Where we find really the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord praying for us disciples and communicating with God for Himself and what He's about to go through. And Jesus prays and says in John 17, 22 and following, "And the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and Thou in me." You try to swallow that one for a while. Meditate on that one. Chew on that one for a while. "I in them and Thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me." He says, "Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." It sustained Christ. God's love sustained Christ while He was here in that body. He looked to that love. It's a sustaining love. It sustained Christ. But we know what else? It sustains Christians, doesn't it? It sustains you and I. Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul says, this sustains me because I know that Jesus loved me and gave Himself for me. One of the songs I love to sing, and the kids love it, I still love to sing, "Jesus Loves Me." Amen. Jesus loves me. Sustains Christians. John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye," what? "In my love." It's my love. That kind of love. The Father loved me with His love. I have loved you with my love. Continue in my love. You go love others with my love.
is what he's saying there. Now you continue it. Father to me, me to you, now you to one another. Don't let it stop with you. He's talking about that love flowing through them, a sustaining love. And we mentioned it already. It's also the Savior's love. He said, continue in John 15:8, in my love. It's his love. It's that love wherewith, Jesus says, praying that love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. It's God's love, that kind of powerful spiritual love that God puts in us and enables us even to love our enemies. I had an interesting illustration I don't want to pass by regarding loving our enemies. In his book, Stephen Olford tells of a Baptist pastor during the Revolution, and the pastor name was Peter Miller, who lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and he enjoyed the friendship of George Washington. In Ephrata, Pennsylvania, also lived Michael Whitman, an evil-minded sort who did all he could to oppose and humiliate the pastor. One day, Michael Whitman was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. Peter Miller, the pastor, traveled 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of the traitor. "No, Peter," was General Washington's reply. "I cannot grant you the life of your friend." "My friend," explained the old preacher, "he's the bitterest enemy I have." "What?" Washington's response. "You walk 70 miles to save the life of an enemy?" That puts the matter in a different light. "Pardon granted. I'll grant you that pardon." And he did. And Peter Miller took Michael Whitman back home to Ephrata, no longer an enemy but a friend. A testimony of the power of God, of this very saving love of which we speak. And then, thirdly, this divine love is a growing love. It's a growing love. See, that's part of the mystery about it. It's like a seed. You don't throw it in the ground and say, "Now look out now, there's about to be a 40-foot oak tree pop up here in about 5 minutes. That doesn't happen. These things, we're going to see at this point, that this divine love is growing. And first, we need to realize this divine love can be choked. We can hinder the working of God in us. It can be choked. Luke 8:14. That which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this world. There's those shiny things, Brother Trevor. We look over here and look over there, you know. I want that car. I want their house, you know. I want their wife. I want their husband, you know. God talks about those things, you know. And we look around, and God says, "You need to have your eyes focused on me. That's not those things of the world." Why? Because that will choke the work that the Spirit is trying to do in your life and my life. 2 Timothy 4:10, we had a message on this guy recently, the vanishing disciple. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And he went to Thessalonica. There must have been a whole lot for worldlings to do there. Because he loved the world, and he went to Thessalonica. Remember, they were persecuting the Christians greatly there. Paul had to hightail it out of there after only being there 3 weeks, I think it was. And that's where Demas headed. It can be choked, that love. It is interesting that the very Spirit of God can live in you and me and be grieved. Did you ever live someplace where it was hard to live? Maybe you had a neighbor. And I mean, they just come outside the door and boy, it's a colorful language that just flows and like a trumpet blowing. And you're like, or something just keeps breaking down, or there's some crime area nearby. The neighborhood is just... That's how God feels sometimes when he's in this neighborhood. When I'm not walking with him or seeking him like I should be. He doesn't stop loving me. But he's like, this is rough. And why does he do? Why didn't he just leave? Because he promised he'd never leave. That's why he didn't leave. And he's grieved. By the way, how well do you think grieved teachers teach? Not very well. Their teaching is hindered. Not that they're not able, but it's the grief that gets in the way of everything. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, what? Whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. And it can be choked. It can be choked. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, church at Ephesus, because thou hast left what? Thy first love. That fruit I was trying to bring in you first and foremost, you've departed it from it. It's not growing. Matter of fact, my spirit is grieved in you. And you need to get back to that. Do we understand that no one made Jesus come to this earth and die for you and me? No one made him do that. There was no spiritual law that's in the Godhead that said he had to come and die for you and me. The only thing that drove the Godhead to send down the Son was his love for us. That's it. Heaven was fine without us, but not as far as God was concerned. And why was that? Because of his love for us. It can be, but that love can be choked. Can be recognized. Finally, that as believers, this love, it must be cultivated. It must be cultivated. Those of you who've planted gardens, you have probably already what? You've probably already pulled out the weeds that what? Choke the crops when they come up. Amen? And you've already what? Dug up and cultivated the ground so you don't have all the hard spots and those things to make it receptive to the seed. It's got to be cultivated. 1 John 2:5. Whoso what? Keepeth his word. In him verily is the, here's that fruit, love of God perfected. You mean the love of the fruit of the Spirit, love of God wasn't perfected in my life the moment I was born again? That's exactly what the Bible says. See, all these things have to grow. And they only grow as, wait, what's that four-letter word? Yield. Amen. And I am so glad that we can pray the prayer like that one man prayed. God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Apparently, as far as I know, I'm believing all I can. And I'm realizing, God, I can't. I'm just not doing it enough or whatever. I need you to do something I can't even explain. But you know what makes a difference in that prayer? One thing. The desire. The desire. You know what made Paul realize it wasn't the end of the world when he failed in his sin, Romans chapter 7? It was because, as Brother Travis said, the Christian is struggling with sin. The Christian is going to know the grief of that spirit because they're a Christian. They're going to sin and they're going to be grieved because the Spirit's in them that they did. And they're going to want that victory. They're not going to want to stay in that sin. They're going to be crying. They're going to be yearning for that victory. And the Bible says about Christians, we wait for the hope of righteousness.
Why are we waiting for a righteous change in our life? Because we've prayed for it and we realize we can't do it. And we really want it. And so we're waiting for that victory to be given. And I've said it before, that doesn't mean we don't give it all that we have. I gave it all that I have for 3 years to quit smoking when I became a Christian. And after I gave it all that I had, I think God was waiting for the right time. And finally realized that I wanted it bad enough. God, you're going to have to take this. I just do it. And God delivered me after 3 years. I remember thinking, I'm going to be so righteous after I quit smoking. You know, well, I'm going to be, you know, the pinnacle of salt and light, you know, once I quit smoking. And then the Holy Spirit, when I quit smoking, tapped on my shoulder and says, okay, now let's get to the rest of that stuff. And he begins to show you more and more. We can be thankful he shows us a step at a time. Amen. Amen. We wouldn't be able to handle it, as I've mentioned before, if we would see how much more in us needs to grow like the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would show us all that right now, we'd just say, take me home, God, I give up. We'd be like Elijah. Let me find a juniper tree somewhere. That's where we'd be. God says, no, I'm going to lead you along a step at a time, step at a time. It must be cultivated by the word of God. In Philippians 1:9, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. There's that love abounding. That love abounding. And then finally, about that love, it must be cultivated not only by the word of God, but in our walk, obviously, with God. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We've studied that before. That means because we're dear children, we are dear in God's eyes. Because that's what we are, then follow like it. No one already, greater love hath no man than this, what? That a man laid down his life for his friends. God can't show us that we're any more dear to him than he's already done. And so now, because we are dear children, be there for followers of God as dear children. God says, I've given you the power. I've spilled out myself for you. Now live like dear children. Because I've enabled you to do that. Be there as dear children. And what's it say, verse 2? And walk, what's it say? In love, as Christ also hath loved us. Oh, what a challenge. What did Jesus hold back? He that spared not his own son, but delivered it up for us all. How shall he not also, what, with him freely give us all things? That's our God. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See that? 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all your things, all of them, be done with what? Charity. Everything you do. Why? Because it's preeminent. It's what moved God to send his son for me. God says, now you're going to reach the world if you'll let that same love that I reached you with, if you'll let me reach them through you, through the spirit I've given you. And then your love's and our love's going to grow as we do these things. I think about this in closing, kind of a sobering illustration. $3 worth of God, please, is the title of it. Tim Hansen in his book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. By the way, I had to see that title. You know, God has a time of rest plan too, okay? Being a workaholic. You see, the devil is always trying to push us over one boundary or another. If he can't get you to be lazy and not work enough, he'll push you over the boundary and get you to work too much. We always got to be looking for a balance. God is balanced, and we always got to be looking for that balance. $3 worth of God, please. Tim Hansen's book. he writes some insights of what most people want from God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. We might say, I want comfort, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. Please, I would like to buy $3 worth of God. Please. If we'd be honest, the idea of transformation sometimes really scares us. That is because we know that such a radical change would be quite uncomfortable at times. We realize that with transformation comes a major overhaul of our lives and priorities. Jesus didn't come into my life to make my plans better. He came into my life to be my Savior and to be the Lord of my life. He said, yes, you have no power to live life, and you have no wisdom to live life. I've given you all of that in my Spirit and my Word, purchased by my Son. And now, I want to be your life. Follow me. Follow me. By the way, there's just one of those commands, brother. Follow me. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Part of our salvation says that we confess the Lord Jesus in our heart. Not just the friend Jesus. Not just the comforting Jesus, the Lord Jesus. As I thought about that, you know, people preach this lordship salvation and all that. You know, I didn't even think about that when I got saved, that term, that argument. But I thought about it. Did I receive Jesus as Lord? And as I thought about that, I realized that I believe in the way that God expects me to, I did. Now, let me tell you, when I got saved, I didn't say, that's it, God, I'm not going to sin anymore, and I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I didn't do that when I was 21 and got saved. I just tell you that right now, okay? But you know what I did realize? He had the right to direct every detail of my life. I realize that with almost that much biblical knowledge, at least in the right context. That because of what he'd just done for me, he had the right to lead, to direct every area of my life. And that is recognizing him as Lord. Amen. And this following stuff, we'll be working that out the rest of our lives. Amen. One of the things I mentioned this before, I prayed often. I prayed it often, even recently, and probably, I think I even prayed it this morning. Lord, help me to follow you as Lord today. Help me to do that. He's not just I mentioned before, he ever liveth to intercede for us. Amen. He's not just ever living to intercede us because in case we might need him. He's doing that. He's there because we always need him. Amen. Every moment. Every step of the way. And God will make us the light. The moon has no light of its own to reflect. It can only reflect the light of the sun. You and I have no light of our own to reflect. We can only reflect the light of the sun. Amen. As we look to him. And God will do that through you and I by the miraculous transformation of regeneration that is power. Yeah, it happened. He came in you at salvation. But now these fruits of the Spirit are going to come. But they can be choked. He can be grieved. They've got to be cultivated. They've got to grow in us. We've got to seek God about that yielding thing, about those desires in our hearts. God wants to change
the seeds in there. He's changing our loves. Well, we want to please him when you're a believer. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I don't think there's a born-again Christian that would say, well, it won't bother me if the Lord's ashamed of me when he returns. I don't think there's a person truly born again that can say that. Certainly it will bother you. Certainly it would bother me. And it'll bother you now if you're born again and you think about that. That'll bother you. You can't turn your face against such love and not be jagged by the Spirit. Amen. Oh, to remember. Oh, to remember. All right, let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church. And Father, I thank you for the working of your Spirit. Oh God, there are so many times when we're in such distress. And we just call out for you. You talk about that peace that passes all understanding. And we don't have the answers. And we cry to you and you give it, God. And for that, we thank you. But there's also those times, dear God, we're thankful, we're comforted. But there's also those times that we need to be cut. We need to be reminded that we are hurting you, that we are grieving your Spirit, that we are not doing the best for our lives when we continue in sin. We're headed for chastening and for the measure that would be needed for each one of our cases. I thank you that we can confess our sins, that we can turn to you at any time, at any moment for forgiveness. How many times have we strayed and done just that? And as far as we know, have been delivered from an impending chastisement. I'm sure all of us could say many. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your love to us in Christ. Father, I pray if there's one receiving this message that has heard about salvation, that they would know that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And Lord, that it comes just by believing that Jesus Christ is your perfect Son. Your scripture says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Jesus never sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God, if someone would believe that about Jesus and that he's your Son, that he died and rose again, and you have and they're sorry for their sins and want to be saved, being convicted by your Spirit, they can do what you told them to do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One man prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Anyone receiving this message could be convicted by the Spirit. I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I've sinned that I must deserve that. But I'm sorry for my sins. That's called repentance. And I want to be forgiven. I want you in my life, God. That's faith. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, you did die for me and rise again. I believe you. I believe you did that for me, God, through your Son. And now I ask you, please forgive me and save me. I want to live for you. God, someone praying that in their own words, crying out from their own heart, would be immediately born again. And I pray they'd do that. And many of us here, we've already experienced that. And Father, we have eternal life. We have your never indwelling, never leaving Holy Spirit. Help us to listen to him. Help us to hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk therein. Help us to be obeying the word, which is the sword of the Spirit. The clear things that we might understand for our own lives, the things that you haven't written. Most importantly are those things clearly that you have. If we'll align ourselves with those by your Spirit, we'll be yearning to please you. We'll recognize that comes through walking in the Spirit as we have seen so many times. Then, Lord, we'll see those changes come. And we'll see the fruits come and the peace that you bring.
And God, it's always been our prayer for this church that each one of us would grow like that, and that we could reach another with your blessed plan of salvation and see them grow and walk in the same things. And Father, we put these things before you. Thank you for the good worship time we've had together with you now this morning. Work in every heart, we pray in Jesus' name.